Broadcasting Network, October 30th, 2022, the day before All Hallows Eve. So all the evil ones will be having their little fun tomorrow night and doing their wicked deeds. You know, every year this time of year, a lot of people go through a kind of a depression, I guess you would say. Fall comes and starts getting cold, starts getting dark earlier. We play around with daylight savings time and so forth and so on. So the amount of grave apocalyptic foreshadowing and language out here is just over the top. So let's see here. And this protocol 15 out of the protocols of learned elders of Zion. When we had last definitely come into our kingdom by the aid of coup d'etat prepared everywhere for one and the same day, after the worthlessness of all existing form of government has definitely acknowledged, we shall make it our task to see that against us, such things as plots shall no longer exist. With this purpose, we shall slay without mercy all who take arms to oppose our coming into our kingdom. Every kind of new institution of anything like a secret society will also be punished with death. Those of them which are now in existence are known to us, serve us, and have served us. We shall disband and send into exile to continents far removed from Europe. In this way, we shall proceed with those goy masons who know too much. Such of these as we may, for some reason, spare will be kept in constant fear of exile. We shall promulgate a law. Get to this page here. Making all former members of secret societies liable to exile from Europe as the center of our rule. Resolutions of our government will be final without appeal. In the goy societies in which we have planted and deeply rooted discord and Protestantism, the only possible way of restoring order is to employ merciless measures that prove the direct force of authority. No regard must be paid to the victims who fall. They suffer for the well-being of the future. The attainment of that well-being, even at the expense of sacrifice, is the duty of any kind of government that acknowledges as justification for its existence not only its privileges but its obligations. The principal guarantee of stability of rule is to confirm power, and this is attained only by such a majestic inflexibility of might as shall carry on its face the emblems of inviolability. Lability from mystical causes, from the choice of God. Such was, until recent times, the Russian autocracy, the one and only serious foe we had in the world, without counting the papacy. Bear in mind the example when Italy, drenched with blood, never touched a hair on the head of Sulla, who had poured forth that blood. Sulla enjoyed an apotheosis for his might in the eyes of the people, though they had been torn in pieces by him. But his intrepid return to Italy ringed him round with inviolability. The people do not lay a finger on him who hypnotizes him by his daring and strength of mind. So even there, the venom towards Russia in the protocols and of the to the papacy. Now, as we can see with the behaviors of Jose Mario Bergoglio and the Jesuits, they're moving things along in lockstep with the elders of Zion towards world government. Of course, the Vatican, really the first quote-unquote government requiring all of its members vaccinated, and then right there with them was good old who? Old Bibi's Israel. And now you got Ben Shapiro whining about the quacks. I guess he trusted his Jew buddy Albert Bourla that he wasn't gonna, that he was getting something halfway worthwhile injected into his arm, and then his wife got three shots, and, you know, quite fascinating. Now, Rochelle Walensky, and I sent this out to a bunch of people I communicate with, and this is, I really get perturbed with alternative media people. This is on SHTF plan. Okay. This is from October 27th. CDC Director Walensky is infected with COVID after taking five COVID vaccines that obviously don't work. Okay. And this was originally on Natural News. So she went into isolation Friday, October 21, due to a positive reading on her latest COVID-19 PCR test. CDC senior staff now tracking down the Walensky's closest contacts and taking the appropriate action to monitor her status. How long are people going to fall for this baloney? This Jewess Walensky? Obviously, I mean, the possibility that she took in some of these jabs is there, but I completely doubt it. These Jews around in the pharma world, do you think they actually took real vaccines or the real shots intended for the goyim? I mean, come on. We've got to, you know, deprogram from this junk that they drop into these news cycles and take it for like it's truth or something. It's really goofy. I can't believe that some person like Walensky, actually took these things. So just some more headlines. World Health Organization issues tuberculosis warning. So they're saying that for the first time in 20 years, the number of people infected with TB is increased, causing concern. Well, for everything else that's in these damn shots, there's probably some TB in some of the lots, I would guess. I mean, everything from these. And I got some stuff to play, which is, you know, and I'm not going to say that I necessarily believe it, but I pay attention to all these different angles on these kitchen sink shots. You know, Elon Musk carrying a what it looked like a restroom sink into Twitter. But anyway, these kitchen sink shots where it's like, you got all the lots, and you probably got 100 different experiments going on at one time. Russia accuses British Navy of Nord Stream terrorist attack. Doctor claims graphene sheds from unvaccinated from vaccinated to the unvaccinated, resulting in destroyed blood cells and clots. China doubles down on zero COVID policy by expanding lockdowns, blah, 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 blah. COVID tests and vaccines, delivering a hybrid biotech weapon activated by 5G, fiber optics, and light. The hijacker sent me a message about this thing over in South Korea, this Halloween nightmare, where you see a lot of people dying, and you saw a lot of people trying to give other people CPR. Now you have a bunch of different, let's just say, angles on this stampede type thing. So he comes in. Wow, 150 people died of cardiac arrest. Can you say 5G turned on? Look at everybody pumping the chest of everyone, not covering this up. Over 300 people in their 20s all had heart attacks at the same time. I look at this and I tried to look at some of this footage, and it really did look like tons of these people were squeezed very tightly into a very, very narrow passageway. You know, this happened a number of times over in Germany at these rave parties back, probably, 15 years ago, somewhere around there, 15 to 20 years ago, there were people getting crushed. I have been at some concerts where I was in the front row, and I'll tell you what, you talk about a feeling of helplessness. Remember, we just had this Travis Scott Astroworld incident where a bunch of people died, and very, very interesting similarities here. So it could be some sort of frequency manipulation going on. There was a lot of speculation at that Astro World, and I covered it, and I would actually have to go back into my notes to try to get back into the deep dive that a lot of people were doing at that time. This seems, it has a lot of parallels. And then there's other people like over here on BitChute and other places, talking about, it looks like mannequins and some of the footage and so forth. You know, you've got your usual people that everything to some people is a false flag, and they're going to make points and so forth and so on, where some of these previous false flags where we had like Boston and some of these other bombings in Europe, the Schiphol Airport and other places, where people were really kind of getting into the minutiae of looking at some of the injured and so forth and saying, this doesn't look real. Some people are doing that with this South Korea stampede mass kind of death event. So very, very fascinating. We know probably large percentage of those people are jabbed with these kitchen sink genetic poison. And I'm going to get into some more of this Dr. Brian Artist thing, where he's sticking to this whole kind of venom peptides and real creepy stuff, to where you can actually buy this synthesized venom right on the internet. $1,500, you can buy this stuff in powder form. Real weird, to where if you were into making like blow darts and killing people and so forth, but it really opens up a whole kind of, let's say, the angle that Mike Adams and some of these folks were talking about as far as aerosolized deployment of some substance in a geographic locale, and they're really looked at Italy. Because we know at the beginning of this whole COVID operation, Italy was this massive hotspot where you had tons of deaths and very, very strange. And you had a large contingent of Chinese kind of caretakers there as well. But deployment is kind of interesting, and we'll kind of get into that in a little while. But I figured I would cover that South Korea stampede thing, because there's a lot of people making a lot of, you know, interesting angles on that and what could have possibly happened. Now, Elon Musk, of course, I mean, everybody's talked about this Elon Musk incident with the Twitter stuff. And so John Percent sent me this, you know, some of the folks I talk with offline. And he says this about Twitter: We all must remember the amount of ridicule and mockery and the intellectual battering ram Trump supporters pounded the left and their snowflakes into full-blown public temper tantrums with during his first campaign for president. And that was when Twitter was wide open. I mean, Twitter was so wide open 10 years ago. I mean, it was, you know, and I'm not saying this for self-gratification, but it was like race war now, gas the kikes memes on Twitter floating around. You had, I mean, the ultimate trollers and just clowning going on 10 years ago on Twitter. But anyway, that kind of energy produces cash, at the same time helps generate violence and property destruction. This is what the new Twitter will produce, and everyone perceived to be a threat to the powers that be in their articulation of cogent common sense arguments against totalitarian government or a North American Union or a global vaccination campaign or freedom of association by race or political beliefs. And I would add criticizing the central bank digital currency that's about to be dropped on us will put themselves under a microscope, and this huge surveillance apparatus will be used to punish them all one day down the road. Twitter'll be one giant bug zapper for the ruling elite. And that's an interesting angle. Remains to be seen about, you know, what's going to happen with this platform. I still have an account that I haven't posted on in a few years. I don't even get on there anymore. Now, depending on what happens, maybe I will jump on just to unfollow a bunch of people that I'm not interested in following anymore, and just kind of use it as a news feed. I don't know. I mean, I've said some outlandish things on Twitter in the past, but that was back when Twitter was wild. You know, I joined Twitter 10 years ago, and we'll see what happens. This concept of these Democrats refusing to or only doing one debate in these political season. Why aren't Democrats calling out other Democrats on that? I mean, is this where we're going now, where one party is just going to play, I'm going to run with the ball and I don't want to talk about it, and I don't want to even have to get on a stage and hash out ideas with the person running against? I mean, is this where we're going? I mean, weirdest thing ever. You know, 10 years ago, nobody would even thought of this. And now these people are just going to run from debates? I mean, we saw what happened to this Fetterman character. Gosh, what a goon this guy is. And, you know, I did a dive into his wife, and she's this Brazilian, came into the country illegally, got a green card, became a citizen, and blah, 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 blah. And then I guarantee you, Fetterman's wife is partying it up now that Lula Da Silva down here looks like he's going to take the reins of power in Brazil. 51-49. Isn't that nice? This socialist Marxist gets out of the clink, gets out of the hoosegow, and now he's pumping the Green New Deal, you know, equivalent down there. Not that I'm not for preserving the Amazon and so forth and so on. I don't want to see, you know, this ecosystems down there completely destroyed or anything like that. But see, they use that as you know, oh, we're going to stop, you know, this mining, and we're going to stop tearing down the rainforest. See, this all that linguistic programming terminology to you know, and we're going to give everybody, you know, this is like your Hugo Chavez stuff, and then everybody becomes poor, and then except the ruling class, the Politburo types that, you know, the special people, the friends of the ruling party, they get to become uber rich, and then everybody else, the middle class, gets routed, and everybody becomes lower class, and you just get fractionalized into wealthy and poor. No kind of middle class, no anything else. And so we see these forces at work here every day, whittling away at your spending power, and so forth and so on. It's something's going to give soon. And unfortunately, they've already got the new system ready to pump on us. The central bank, digital currency, blockchain, blah, 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 blah. Now, where's this at? We've got Turkey. This on Activist Post. And this just shows you. It doesn't matter if you're a freaking Jewish country like Israel, so-called Western Christian or secular countries, or you got Turkey, Muslim country, home of the last caliphate. And look, probably going to be the home of the new Zio-approved caliphate. Go right up there next to the Greater Israel Project. You'll have the Zio Caliphate, depending on what happens, what they decide to do with the Persians, the Iranians. So Turkey to integrate digital currency with national digital identity system. So Turkey, a Muslim country, and they're going to go right into this. Turkey's planning to launch a central bank digital currency that will be integrated with the country's digital identity system and the Central Bank of the Republic of Turkey's fast instant payments service. So this Muslim country has a nice central bank. Oh, wonder how many cryptos were running around in that baby, huh? The integration will form part of the next phase of the country's central bank digital Turkish lira research and development project that will also include testing the use of the CBDC for payments as well as for wholesale banking transactions. Turkey's presidential strategy and budget directorate announced the plans in the presidential annual program for 2023, which stated that a blockchain-based central bank digital currency will be put into practice. According to a CoinDesk Turkey report, the Central Bank of the Republic of Turkey launched the first phase of its CBD project in September 2021 when it announced plans for limited closed-circuit testing. Oh, isn't that what we got about to go on here? Of a prototype digital Turkish lira network prior to advanced phases of the pilot study that will reflect broader participation. It was one of the 26 central banks that contributed to the Bank for International Settlements, CBDC's, in Emerging Market Economies report in April. Oh, isn't that nice? Good old Muslim Turkey. Fascinating. So I thought this one was interesting. So Mike Adams on the 25th, consumer alert, Numana exposed, 5 years of false claims, marketing fraud, fake heavy metals testing claims, and misleading their own customers over storable organic food. So the Numana company, since 2017, has continued to falsely and fraudulently claim that their organic storable food products known as Organic Family Pack are Health Ranger approved and are being tested for heavy metals and pesticides by the Natural News Labs. In truth, no Numana products have been tested by the Health Ranger and Natural News since 2016. And so he talks about them cutting off his royalties in 2017, refusing to provide product samples for lab testing, yet continuing to fraudulently use the heavy metals tested label claims. Well, this is this guy that took over for Joyce Riley that was running Numana. And even RBN, some time back, we had Numana as one of our, you know, had a some sort of connection with them. Interesting, this just Jewish guy, I think his name's Pat, anyway, he, you know, just dust up with Natural News over royalties and claiming that their stuff's tested by Mike Adams' labs and so forth. And it's just that popped into my news feed. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So let's see, we're coming up on break shortly. I got a lot to get to, boy, I tell you. Oh, Todd Callender and some of these folks, you know, that are out here talking about a lot of different stuff, they're saying that there's cesium-137 in some of these lots. Okay, which I probably talked about that, hell, a year ago, that the probability of them being having some radiological material in there. A lot of people are starting to talk about that being an angle in some of these lots. I wish I could have a schematic or read it about how many different concoctions that they created out of all these vials and these different lots. I'll tell you what. And these evil people like Bourla and Gates and them guys, they're probably like just sitting there getting their woodies off, seeing all these people dying. And I mean, these young nurses all in their 20s, these bodybuilders, hey, I'm the test if anything happens to me. And the guy croaks. DJs, you know, talk show guys in England, they were all pro-vaxxers. All these people that were pro-vaxxers, you can just, now a bunch of them are dying. This little thing with Katy Perry in her eye, and now she's claiming it was a gimmick, and who knows? It looked kind of suspect to me looking at the, I was like, this is kind of over dramatic. But it's fascinating to watch all this. So now they're saying cesium-137, which a lot of people had talked about this previously. All right, there's the break. We'll see you guys on the other side of the
truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Network, support the network if you can. It's always hanging on by a thread. So I'm going to read a little bit out of this Andrew Anglin article over here on oons.com. And he makes some really, really good points. Okay. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just picked a couple sections. But he's been doing some epic trolling. And a lot of people, let's just say, I guess they're not used to possibly his style of trolling and some of the stuff he says. It's funny, you know, once you get it and you understand how the tactics that he's using, that's when some of it gets really, really, really funny. Now, this was This was about this interview with Noriega on the drink champs and all this. And I can't really read the name of the article on the air because it's very graphic. But so I'm just going to start at this point. What did Kanye say that wasn't true? He said Jews control the media. It said 90% of rappers are signed to Jewish record labels while there are zero Jewish artists signed to black producers. He said celebrities all have Jewish handlers. He said Jews undermine Donald Trump. He said Jews are against white people and try to use blacks to silence white voices. He said Jews have a liberal agenda and that they push through their control of the media and through the Democrat Party. He said Jews have different sexual values than Christians. He said Jews have messed with his money and messed with his family. He said Jews promoted the narrative that he's insane. He said Jews despise Christianity. He said Jews promote divorce while Christians don't allow it. Well, that's traditional Christians. Anyway, all those things are demonstrably factually true. You can prove all those things. The best that the Jews can say about this in an open discussion, which never happens, is that the individuals doing these things are Jewish, but that doesn't reflect on Jews as a whole. That was Lex Friedman's argument, by the way. That is, of course, an argument they could make in an open discussion, but it is still true that the people doing these things are definitely Jewish. Again, it's obvious that if the Chinese people in America were doing all these things, people would say Chinese do these things. Well, a lot of people really go for the Chinese fentanyl argument. They really go for Chinese espionage argument. But how many people talk about Israeli espionage? Not as much, do they? Everyone would understand that you're not necessarily talk about all Chinese people, but that there is nonetheless a collective Chinese agenda which you can identify and which we should be allowed to discuss. This is the thing about all this. The Jewish demand is that you are not allowed to discuss the Jews. You are not allowed to talk about their power. You are not allowed to talk about how they use that power. If we could have an open discussion about Jewish power, everyone would have to agree that Jews are very powerful. Jews dominate entire industries, including the entertainment industry. Everyone involved knows that, but they are saying you can't say that. It's a bizarre situation to have the people with the most power so above criticism that you can't even say they have power. The reason is that if someone has power, they also have accountability, and the Jews have an agenda that virtually no one agrees with, so they can't afford to have accountability. Beyond that, there is also a question of why this group of foreigners from the Middle East should be controlling the country of white people and black people. Imagine if there was a king and he lived in the palace and he made the laws, but you weren't allowed to say he was the king. Imagine if you would lose your job, get sued, and lose all your money. Maybe even lose your family if you said the king is the king. It sounds absurd, but it's exactly what is happening with these Jews. It is simply ridiculous that Jews are claiming that not to have power, while they will also use their power to destroy your life if you say they have power. If they didn't have any power, they wouldn't be able to destroy your life like that. The Jews constantly claim that white people have all this power, but anyone can say whatever they want about white people. You could say whites should be killed. When Noriega himself talked about killing cops, the implication is white cops. Whites have all the power, but they can't stop people from calling for them to be killed. But Jews are somehow victims, yet they can silence a billionaire cultural icon for saying they have power. This situation was never sustainable. There was never a timeline on which Jews could control their entire society while also saying that no one is allowed to talk about their control of society or question what it is they are doing with that control. Eventually, these claims about vague, shadowy white people who work for oil companies or whatever being secretly in control of society would become too ridiculous. And as more and more things that people hate happen to society, people would want to know who is actually in charge. The peasants do not really have any actual ability to question the power. I've been out here for over a decade saying that Jews are in control, and I was easily silenced because I don't have the money needed to actually push back and defend myself against the Jews when they're swarming me. Most of the peasantry will continue to believe what they are told by the media, and if it gets to the point where they don't, there's nothing they can actually do. If one of them stands up, they will get picked off. A revolution was always going to require people with serious money and power saying they are sick of being controlled by the Jews. Ye is the richest black man ever, blah, 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 blah. He's one of the single most famous musicians ever, and they're telling him he's not allowed to say what he thinks. He's saying, no, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and if you're going to kill me, that's just how it's going to be. But when I'm dead, someone else is going to come after me and go even harder. This is the beginning. Everything before Yay going DEFCON 3 was just a warm-up. Now, see, that's trolling. Now the real war starts. The question is how opposed to everyone in this country. What kind of country do you want? Who do you want to be in power? Do you want normal people in power, people who are related to you and represent your interests, or do you want a gang of foreign Jews with a weird agenda to rule over you and force their agenda on you? The obvious answer for the overwhelming majority of the population is that America is a white country with a large native black population. So the people with power should be mostly whites with a minority representation of blacks. The people with the power should be representatives of the masses of peasants, because the peasants are the people who actually make the country. The peasants are the ones who do the work that allows for powerful people to be powerful in the first place. Powerful people rule the peasants. They have the ability to make decisions about what happens to the peasants. And in fact, this comes down to life and death. The powerful control the government and can decide to imprison or kill members of society. Therefore, the people in power must be accountable to the peasants, and they must rule with the approval of the peasants. If the peasants ever feel as though the powerful no longer exist to serve the best interests of the population at large, the peasants have a right to remove the powerful from power, to take their positions and their wealth and to give it to people more deserving. Well, and I'm going to stop it here and go off on my own rant here, but guess what? When you get into Bill Joy and the essay he wrote, the future doesn't need us, and Yuval Harari and these guys, they've decided that they don't even need the peasants around anymore. That's why we are in a massive liquidation mode of the population. And so I'm going to stop that one there. But, you know, it's crazy because, see, we've moved into a different reality. Now with this transhuman kind of ethos and the robotics ethos and the artificial intelligence ethos and nanotech and all this stuff, genetic engineering, they really think that they can manage the place without millions and billions of people that they need to actually get rid of. And then they think that they're going to create a utopia for themselves. And so this is where we kind of have to realize what, let's just say, time frame we're in. Let's talk about – oh, let's get clip 12 ready. This is just so over the top, and this is like a 30-second clip. It starts off with Max Eigen, but it goes into some Australian news clip. Go ahead and roll clip 12.
Next level stuff, folks, next level. But of course, why would you want to fly? They're actually telling you in Australia that if you've been jabbed, you shouldn't fly because of the danger of blood clots, not to mention all the pilots that are dying.
Airlines are now advising people who have been vaccinated not to fly. Yep, you heard me correctly. Airlines in Spain and Russia are warning people who have been vaccinated against coronavirus not to travel because of the risk of blood clots.
All right. So how would you feel if you were one of these people that got suckered into taking the thing because you wanted to travel? And then all of a sudden you see on the news, you're like, hey, by the way, the health people are saying you shouldn't probably get on a plane due to the fact that the blood clots could be exacerbated. Now, look, all those businessmen and politicians that spent a lot of time in the air pre-COVID, remember the blood clot phenomenon, because they're up there in the air and in the cabin and everything and blah, 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 and pilots. And just think about it, where these huge amyloid things or whatever they want to call these growths in their arteries and all the rest of this stuff, these people spending time on the plane. So, you know, very, very interesting. Mr. Producer, get 13 ready. Now, this is Art Bell with a remote viewer, and this is in the late 90s, right, early 2000s. So this is 25 years ago, and this is about the Mark of the Beast. Go ahead and roll clip 13.
What they were given. This idea of the Mark of the Beast, we remote viewed that years ago, and actually I spent a lot of time on it myself. And I stand by what the results are. Anybody who's trained in even some of the intermediate remote viewing skills that we teach can be taught to discern the same results. And that is an AIDS vaccine. The Mark of the Beast turns out to be an AIDS vaccine. Somebody 2,500 years ago was looking 2,500 years in the future, and that particular idea is what the only way that they conceptualized it 2,500 years ago was to call it the Mark of the Beast.
I don't understand. If it's an AIDS vaccine, why would it even conceptually be thought of as the Mark of the Beast? An AIDS vaccine would be a good thing, right?
I don't want to get into it because it is such a controversial thing, Art. It deals...
Are you saying it's going to be an AIDS vaccine gone wrong? Is that where you're going?
That I can talk about. I can't talk about what's behind the idea of the Mark of the Beast. Not on the air. It's too controversial. But, yes, what happens is that the people who accept the Mark of the Beast break out in woesome sores. That's what Revelation says. They break out. Woe be the mother who gives suck to her child if she takes the Mark of the Beast, because the child will die. Essentially, it's an AIDS vaccine that is not proven, and it does result in causing injury to people that take it.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm afraid that we are heading toward a real possibility of nations forcing this, not forcing it in terms of holding you down and shooting you up with it, but if you do not have a mark on your ID card or your driver's license saying that you've had this inoculation, you're not going to be able to get a job, or you're not going to be able to go to certain places or get a passport.
So it'd almost be like the opposite of the Scarlet Letter. In other words, you'd have to have this mark or... Oh, my.
That's a good analogy. Yes. Yes. Or you'd be ostracized, excommunicated. You won't be able to conduct commerce of any type. You won't be able to get a job in a big corporation.
You definitely won't be able to date.
Unless you date someone who is not...
That's right. Who doesn't
have that mark.
One of the unmarked, right?
Yes.
So you,
the vaccine, it goes wrong, and that's what the prophets of old were saying, is that many people are forced to accept the Mark of the Beast, but woe be them and those people that do that, because they break out in woesome sores. The vaccine goes wrong. It's not proven.
Well, vaccines have been known to go wrong indeed, and they keep we keep getting news blurbs and flashes about a possible AIDS vaccine, and the story is big for a day or two, and then it goes away and you never hear about it again. I bet I've heard 50 of those, Ed, since we've been aware of AIDS. You know, we've got one, or we've just about got one, and the story always goes away.
Well, the pandemic is so huge that it's very attractive in a number of different ways to come up with, to research a vaccine. And
all right,
you can
stop it there.
How much money is involved.
And so, you know, people have been talking about the vaccine angle and the Mark of the Beast for a long time. It's tough. I see how mRNA definitely would introducing other, especially animal genetic material and all this. I mean, like I was saying, these kitchen sink nature, these lots where the, you know, all this stuff where people talk about these parasites and hydras and all this stuff, and some people saying that that's disinfo and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't put anything past the Albert Bourlas and Stefan Bonsells of the world. Mr. Producer, get clip four ready. This is Stefan Bonsell, the CEO of Moderna. And these jerks, they're creating a problem with hearts, and then they're gonna come with a new mRNA to help your heart. Go ahead and roll clip four.
We were working for infectious disease, so we had already a big portfolio of infectious disease vaccines. But to your point, we've always thought that this information molecule, the mRNA, could be a very, very powerful medicine that we inject in your body so you make your own drug. And as you described, we have exciting programs in cancer, in skin cancer. We're going to have the data by the end of this year. We just presented 2 weeks ago at our annual R&D day data in rare genetic disease where kids are unlucky. They get the wrong DNA from mom and dad, and they cannot make a protein that you and I have. So what do? We design in the mRNA instead of spike, to take your protein to make spike, like in the vaccine case. We put the instruction that you and I have in our DNA, and we give it IV to those kids to go into their liver. And when the mRNA delivers the instruction in their liver, they make the protein that they are missing. And the early clinical data in terms of reduction of hospitalization is quite compelling. And so I think rare disease is also something we can do. As you say, cardiology, we have now in a clinic a super exciting program when we inject mRNA in people's heart after heart attack to grow back new blood vessels to help revascularize the heart. So it's a bit like science fiction medicine, but that's what is really exciting to me.
Science fiction medicine to shoot mRNA into their heart after they've had a heart attack and to rebuild heart vessels and so forth. It sounds great, doesn't it? But what are the trap doors that these jerks have built in, or what don't they know? Or, you've got the most richest cabal of people talking about depopulating, and then you're supposed to trust the same cabal to rebuild your heart muscle like they want you to live after you've had a heart attack. I mean, this is maybe if you're one of the special, people that they want to keep around. But most of us is, come on. This is absolute insanity. So Putin, Western hegemony is ending. No one can sit out the coming storm. Putin's milestone Valdai speech, Western hegemony should be replaced with an actual order, respectful of all, the Russian leader said. His speech ranged from biodiversity to cancel culture, the nature of what the West has to offer, and Russia's response, followed by hours of answering audience questions. Six key points. And I've got the transcript up. It's a long, long bunch of stuff. But what's interesting, he mentions Dostoevsky, Zinoviev. He also mentions Solzhenitsyn. I would like to quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn's famous Harvard commencement address delivered in 1978. He said that the typical of the West is a continuous blindness of superiority, and it continues to this day, which upholds the belief that vast regions everywhere on our planet should develop and mature to the level of present day Western systems. Just interesting. He goes through a lot of different stuff. Back to let's see, the future world order is being formed before our eyes. In this world order, we must listen to everyone, take into account every point of view, every nation, society, culture, every system of worldviews, ideas, and religious beliefs without imposing a single truth on anyone. And only on this basis, understanding our responsibility for the fate of our peoples and the planet to build a symphony of human civilization. Sounds great, doesn't it? But, you know, the U.S. has nothing left to offer the world. Ruling the world is what the so-called West has staked in this game, which is certainly dangerous, bloody, and I would say dirty. It denies the sovereignty of countries and peoples, their identity and uniqueness, and disregards any interests of other states. In their so-called rules-based world order, only those making the rules have any agency, while everyone else must simply obey. Well, what do you think we're dealing with under this regime here in our own country, where the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are supposed to be pretty much immovable objects? And look at the way they act with their own people. What do you think they're going to do with the rest of the world? I mean, we're sitting here. I mean, where are we at? 10:55. I was going to play another clip, but maybe I'll get to that on the other side of the break. But, you know, we're dealing with a rogue nation that has people locked up for nothing right now, while, you know, the people that are supposed to be doling out the investigations and the justice, especially at the federal level, they're basically just henchmen of this gang, a lawless gang that has seized power. And they're acting basically like Stasi's, like Stalin and the rest of these people. You know, this Democratic Party, this undemocratic party. You might as well just call it the Neo-Bolshevik Party. You know, Department of Justice and the FBI, you guys, it's just like you've just destroyed Merrick Garland and Eric Holder, Bill Barr. You basically have just destroyed any semblance to a republic at all. So where now it's empire, it's brazen, it's just sick. And, you know, it looks like the financial money changer gang is about to pull the rug out from under it. And then we're going to go into a real brutal tyranny. And so we'll see whether once this thing does go into this collapse scenario, whether, you know, all these boys out here with their toys are going to do anything or not. We shall see. All right, second hour coming your way.
There's a voice that talks to me, said to me was wrong. It's night, but the sky's not falling, guess I must go on. There's a monster inside my head, holding on to trembling.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S. ANASSecret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.